Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to The Roman Show. Going back at you here, May 21st, and we have a stacked lineup for you today with World Series of Fighting featherweight champion Jory Kanekanhan, who joins us tonight to talk about his first title defense in June. Also, Eddie Velez of King will be on the program. He'll be talking about the latest album that his group has dropped, plus much more here in The Roman Show. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at The Roman Show.
Step down to the get down.
All right, whenever you're ready.
5 seconds to the open.
Aquarius, watch that little gimbal.
We don't want you coming off in space.
Booster, go.
Retro,
go.
Vital,
go. Fly.
Guidance,
Sensu.
Surgeon,
go. Blade.
Ecom.
We're go. Flight.
GNC.
We're go.
Down here,
go.
Control.
FAO,
we are go.
Network,
go.
Recovery,
go.
Capcom,
we're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston, we are go for launch.
The Roman Show.
With your host, Rodolfo Roman.
What's up, everyone? May 21st on The Roman Show on the other end from all the way from South Carolina. Joe the Reporter getting ready for Bike Week. What's going on out there, Joe?
Man, you have not experienced any kind of Bike Week. I know in Florida we got the one in Daytona, but if you have not seen Bike Week, you got to come. We had already the Harleys. Now we have what they call the Black Bike Week. Everybody comes. They have fun, barbecue, shows. So if you guys are around the area, swing by.
Oh, man, I wish I was there, man. That's Bike Week taking place in Myrtle Beach. What's that?
I heard that one of your buddies is coming up here.
Yes. Yes, he is. Mr. Get It On Tape, who has helped us out very much. And putting some videos together will be in town in Myrtle Beach for Bike Week. So I know a lot of stuff out there happening. It's going to be a lot of fun. So enjoy it while you can if you're out in Myrtle Beach and enjoy it. But meanwhile, if you are not going to be in Myrtle Beach and don't have any plans, I invite everyone to subscribe to our YouTube account, youtube.com/rroman0201. Why? Well, because we have a lot of hours of exclusive interviews. We just uploaded this week Matt Hardy, who talks about the toll that his body has taken thanks to the TLC matches he has had in the past. We also have John Morrison, Carlito, and Chris Masters, and a whole lot more. So head on over to our YouTube channel and subscribe today. Over 1 million views, Joe, and still counting. Subscribe.
Oh, yes.
Subscribe, subscribe. I can't emphasize on that. Also, subscribe to our social media account, our Twitter, that's at The Roman Show, and our Facebook, Roman Show Media, which we'll be giving away some free stuff shortly. Meanwhile, congratulations to the Miami Heat. They defeated the Indiana Pacers last night. It was a nail-biter, Joe, but we hanged in there.
I love how this guy did the biggest soccer flop in the world of NBA.
Oh, man. Well, you know, he got fined. He got fined for that. You know, and that just shows the type of class that the Indiana Pacers have.
Yeah.
I mean, you're losing. We get that. But really, do you have to do that act, that show? I mean, we know you're frustrated. You know we can't do anything, but come on. That's not a smart move, and that's not professional.
No, what I really liked about it was that it looked like if I was watching old
WWE.
Yeah, you know, like the little stunt that Eddie Guerrero did with the chair.
It's kind of like Ric Flair. Remember when he was just walking around, flop, flop?
That was but we won. Now we're coming back, what was it, Saturday in Miami.
That's right. Well, I just got to tell you, that Lance Stevenson got fined $5,000 for that flop that he did. And not sure if you guys have seen the meme, but there's one where Simba is giving Stevenson
yes.
a boost to get up. Also from that
yes.
game, George suffered a concussion during last night's game. He was diagnosed with a concussion Wednesday just hours after he took a hit to the head from D. Wade. But, you know, and that's unfortunate because Paul George is a heavy shooter and a good player for that
mm-hmm.
team. But Stevenson, did he really have to do the dumb flop? It's just, come on, man. Ugh. Either way, congratulations to the Miami Heat. We're 7 wins away of a three-peat. Which, by the way, the latest news is, not to be cocky here, but
mm-hmm.
the Miami Heat's president, Pat Riley, who is the former coach also of the Miami Heat, has filed a trademark for the three-peat trademark. So he's filed for it. So it says here, the Heat president owns 4 trademarks to the varying versions of the phrase three-peat. And although it's unknown whether Riley intends to license a phrase to companies making championship gear, the former coach seems to be thinking about it. Records with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office revealed that last Thursday, an attorney representing Riley's company filed a trademark to use the phrase three-peat on jewelry, namely rings and sports memorabilia. So Pat Riley there,
wow.
ahead of the gun, already thinking about the 3P. And then you got the 4P, right? Because that's next year.
Yep.
But again, we're only 7 wins away, and I see this series being a nail-biter. If yesterday set the tone.
Was like that?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be like that throughout the series. Remember, it's the best of 7, so we're going to see a
mm-hmm.
lot of that. All right, we're going to talk quickly some Bricks Martial Arts here over the weekend. Bellator debuted on pay-per-view. Haven't got word yet as far as the pay-per-view buys. But one thing I must say, there were some surprises. There were some surprises. Michael Chandler lost against Will Brooks. No one really knew who the hell Will Brooks was until now. And he defeated him by split decision, although many people think otherwise. Either way, Will Brooks is now the interim lightweight champ. And now the question is, will Michael Chandler fight Eddie Alvarez for the belt that Eddie Alvarez has? It's kind of mixed all up in there, and the contract says that Eddie Alvarez has the right to ask for that rematch against Chandler. So will Eddie choose Chandler? Will he choose Brooks? We're going to have to wait and see. Quit in Rampage, Jackson defeated King Mo. King Mo, not a happy camper after the loss, and is asking for a rematch. And Rampage actually got charged or fined for an act he did during the weigh-ins. In fact, he was charged, fined $10,000 by the Mississippi Athletic Commission for his behavior during the weigh-ins for Bellator 120. Now, mind you, King, you know, Rampage is known for his acts, you know, his hyping up the fights, but he got fined $10,000 for that. Also, Tito Ortiz really surprised everyone as he choked out Alexander Slamenko. Slamenko, a great fighter, especially in the stand-up game, but Tito Ortiz just showed him that being a veteran, the experience is definitely a big plus, submitting him in the first round. A big shocker there coming out of Tito Ortiz. And meanwhile, this weekend we have UFC 173 with Ronan Barrow versus TJ Dillashaw for the title. The bantamweight title, and then Daniel Cormier versus Dan Henderson, Jake Ellenberger versus Robbie Lawler, and so much more. Now, Barrow, obviously an awesome fighter, undefeated, versus TJ Dillashaw, who says there's a lot of haters out there. But there's a lot of skepticism going into this pay-per-view saying, you know, is Ronan Barrow, who is a badass, enough to sell a pay-per-view? And there was an article posted on MMA Junkie asking, we all know that Barrow has the skills. We all know that he is awesome in mixed martial arts, but is he enough to sell pay-per-view? Because at the end of the day, that's what makes money. You know, if you don't have a John Jones, a Ronda Rousey, a Cain Velasquez, these are guys that people recognize. But Ronan Barrow, Joel, do you know Renan Barao?
No, I don't.
See, and that's the problem. So, Ben Folks of MMA Junkie asked that question. Dana White read the title. Didn't read the article, but read the title. And he said, which is something kind of like that, you know, is it enough for the UFC to market Barao? He has the skill, but is it enough to market Barao? And Dana White went on a Twitter rant saying, no more journalists. You know, I hate this and I hate that and blah, blah, blah. And people are basically telling him, listen, Dana, just read the article. He's not saying nothing around Barao. We know that he's awesome. We know he's a top fighter. But is he marketable? And let's face it. Let's face it, Joe. And I hate to do this here, but there's a reason why Daniel Bryan wasn't a champion earlier on in the WWE. Not because he's not a great wrestler. We know that he's a great wrestler. But is he marketable? Can you sell him? Same thing, John Cena. You know, John Cena, his skills, you can match his skills against Daniel Bryan. But we know John Cena can sell. We know he is the number one top grossing wrestler out there. No matter what you do.
Give him time, you know, and see what the outcome can be then.
Yeah. Either way, Dana White went on a Twitter rant. And last I checked, he had erased those tweets, but he pretty much just lost it. But listen, this pay-per-view should be a lot of fun, especially the Daniel Cormier versus Dan Henderson. Personally, I have Cormier winning this. No disrespect to the veteran, Hendo, but Cormier is just a powerhouse. And the winner of this, more than likely, is going to get a title shot against John Jones and his title. So really looking forward to a Cormier versus John Jones fight. Or even Hendo. I mean, you know, may the best man win. Cormier or Dan Henderson. And Robbie Lawler, you know, he just lost to Johnny Hendricks for the title. A big few over Jake Ellenberger, maybe one, two more. He could get a rematch against Hendricks if at the time he is still champion. So that's what we got going on in the world of mixed martial arts. Also, turning on to the World Series of Fighting, which in just a few, we're going to welcome in Georgie Karakhanhan, the featherweight champion of the World Series of Fighting. He'll be fighting on the June 21st fight card. We've just been informed that Jake Shields will no longer fight John Fitch at the World Series of Fighting 11, which was rumored to be taking place in Tampa, Florida. What happened? Well, Jake Shields got injured. And this really stinks because first we were told that Rosie Marpo Harris was going to put his title on the line, his welterweight title on the line against John Fitch. Harris pulled out, saying that for personal reasons. So we get Jake Shields and John Fitch. Okay, now Shields is out. He got hurt. So who do you put up a Fitch against? We're going to have to wait and see. But the main event of that fight card will be Justin Gaethje putting up his lightweight title against Nick Newell. That is the headliner, and it's scheduled for July 5th. Although I've heard some rumors, not clarified yet, but some rumors out there that date might change and that this show might air on actual NBC, not NBC Sports Live. But we're going to have to wait and see. But that's all the way to July. Maybe in August now if the rumor is true that there will be a change in date. All right, Joe, enough of the talking. Let's welcome Georgie Karakhanhan, the World Series of Fighting featherweight champion, to the Roman Show right after these breaks.
Attention baseball fans, the Miami Marlins are looking for a few good heroes, Jose Zeros. Join one of the most hardcore fan sections in baseball today with the all-new Jose Zeros season ticket package. You'll see all 81 home games from this exclusive section. Plus, you'll get 6 Jose Zeros t-shirts and a private meet and greet with Jose himself, all for just $4.99. That's about $6 per game. Get your Jose Zeros season ticket package today at Marlins.com. Dive in.
Do you like wrestling? Have you seen independent wrestling? How about Dragon Gate USA, Evolve, Shine, and Full Impact Pro? Find out what you're missing and watch video on demand and live internet pay-per-view in HD on WWNLive.com. It's time to upgrade to a premier wrestling experience with the World Wrestling Network. WWNLive.com.
Thanks for joining us, folks, on The Roman Show. Remember to follow us on social media at The Roman Show and on YouTube. Subscribe, youtube.com/rroman0201. Well, we're getting ready. We're just a couple of weeks away from the big World Series of Fighting 10 fight card, which is going to be in Las Vegas, June 21st. And on that card, there's going to be three title fights. So you're going to get a run for your money there, folks. And one of the title fights will include the first time defending his featherweight title, Georgie Karakanyan, defending it against Rick Glenn. Again, this is June 21st on NBC Sports Live on June 21st. Georgie, thanks so much for joining us here again on The Roman Show. Appreciate your time, man.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. It's always fun to be on your show.
Awesome. Going into this fight, you know, the first one, okay, you got to get your mind in tune and saying, okay, this is my first title fight. Is there any pressure knowing that you got this title and now you're the target, everyone wants it from you?
No, there's no pressure. I fought in Japan. I fought Takaya, their champion. I went in their hometown. I fought their guys. You know, I defended my belt with Tachi Palace, you know, against Micah Miller. You know, they both have, Micah and Rick have similar height. So there's a lot of pressure. I just, like I said, I like to fight, and I just want to fight, man. I want to put exciting fights for all the fans and for everybody.
And, Georgie, how's the training going so far? June 21st, almost around the corner.
Training's been good, man. Training's been really good, actually. I'm just driving back from Glendale. I was there training with the GFC. We're on the training. So training's going good, like always. I try to train as hard as I can, so the fight is easy.
Training with Ronda Rousey, did you learn a couple of judo throws from her, anything from her?
Yeah. You know what? I didn't get to work with the one-on-one. I get to work with Edmund. But, you know, if I want to learn something, some crazy throws, I always go up to her and, you know, I ask her for advice. So it's good to have her there.
Yeah, man, I've seen some of the videos. She is not scared, whether you're a man, whatever that you are. She will go out there and throw you around with that judo, phenomenal stuff. So glad you're learning some stuff. Maybe we'll get to see it in this fight.
Yeah, you know, it's like you said, she doesn't care. She doesn't care if you're 200 pounds or 300 pounds. She'll still throw you on your ass and armbar you. So, you know, I think that's the mentality you want to have in MMA to break a lot of fighters.
Now, going into this fight, you're running, you're getting close to you have a 9-fight win streak. You're going for your 10th fight, one in a row. Your opponent has an 11-fight win streak. But what can you tell us about Rick Glenn?
Rick Glenn, just, you know, cool. Overall, he's a well-rounded fighter. Like I said, he trains with a good camp and a lot of good fighters. Eric Coach and Anthony Pettis, especially Duke Rufus. You know, I have a lot of respect for Duke. He's a good stand-up K-1 fighter. And, you know, the guy has done all, you know, everything. You know, he looks good. Like I said, I don't underestimate him. And I never underestimate my opponents, so I'm taking them really serious. And, you know, I'm going to go out there and, like any other fight, I'm going to go out there and look for a finish. If the finish is not there, then I'll just go 5 rounds. I have no problem going all 5 rounds.
You know, looking into this fight, not only is the title on the line, but the fact that you guys have this winning streak, I don't know, for an MMA fan, just for a fan, forget for a minute that you're a fighter. For an MMA fan, I think it makes it extra exciting because here's a guy that hasn't lost in 11 times. Here's another guy that hasn't fought in 9 fights. And you got the title. I mean, you can't go wrong with that as a fan.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you can look at the win streak. I mean, you can look at Lance Palmer. He was 7-0. He never had no losses. And I took the fight, even if it was short notice for him, short notice for me. I still took the fight. I think as a fighter, once you hit a certain level, it doesn't matter if you find an undefeated fighter, if you find someone that's on a 20-fight win streak. Yeah, you got to be ready for anything. So me, I feel very confident, but I'm very humble. But, you know, again, very confident. I'm going into this fight with a, you know, killer instinct, and I'm going to go out there and go look for a finish.
Is there any time, though, mentally, Georgie, that you feel
you say you're confident, but is there any feel that you feel kind of comfortable knowing that you're in your comfort zone, that you've been on this? I mean, it's been a long time since you know what a loss is, but does your mind sometimes feel it is that I feel very comfortable here, and how do you try to stay away from that? Because at times when you feel comfortable, that's not a really good thing, because it doesn't allow you to evolve and evolve as a fighter and as a person or whatever, maybe.
I'm constantly going to fight, but like I said, every morning I wake up, I'm not happy with the skills I have, so I try to evolve and I try to get better. You know, this sport is growing, and I want to try to grow with this sport. I'm confident in my skills, but again, like I said, every day I wake up, I try to sharpen up those skills so they're very, you know, useful in the fight.
Georgie, your opponent Glenn has competed. He just recently competed in a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournament where he won first place. Do you yourself compete in tournaments like this? And how helpful is it for a mixed martial artist?
Yes, I have my my last serious one was a Grappler's Quest in 2012, and I went and I won my division, and I tapped a pretty good black belt. Tapping everyone in the division, so it's very important to compete, because it's almost the same feeling like you're fighting, but you're not getting punched in the face. But I feel like it's very important to compete, and you know, after this fight, I'm looking to do lots of jiu-jitsu tournaments.
So aside from that, you also competed in boxing professionally. I believe it was like 2 years ago. Any plans of you going back to it?
We'll see. You know, as of right now, I feel like the way MMA is going, it's kind of like it's turning into very political, like boxing. So we'll see. I mean, to me, wherever the money is, if whoever pays me the most money, I'm going there. So, you know, I'm trying to have people asking me, oh, UFC, when you go to UFC, when is this, that? But at the end of the day, all matters to me is my bank account. You know, I just want to stack up the money.
We all have to eat, Georgie. You know, at the end of the day, let's talk something fun here. I know you were a professional soccer player at one point before you were a mixed martial artist. So, knowing that the World Cup is around the corner, and it's fortunate because your fight is on June 21st. The beginning of the World Cup starts on June 12th. Are you going to be watching all the games? And do you have any favorites?
Of course, I'm going to be watching the games. I'm going to root for Russia for sure, but, you know, I know they're gonna fuck up again, and they're not going to make it out of the group. That's what they always do, because the style they play, I don't know, it was never successful for the World Cup. But I hope they can do good this year. And the other team I'm going to watch is Argentina. So those are two teams, you know. Let's see how they do.
You think Argentina will take it all?
You know what? No, I think it's Germany or Spain. Those are my two teams. I think that might take it.
Yeah, that's what I have my money. I have my money on Spain, but you're right about, you know, just one thing about Argentina. You know, they got Messi, you know, one of the top best players in soccer right now. But he just, when you put him in his national team, it's just not the same.
Exactly. He's not the same player like he's in Barcelona. So, and I think it has a lot to do with the team. Or maybe he just plays with Barca for so long that, I don't know, but he doesn't do that well with the national team.
Gotcha. Well, Georgie, I want to thank you very much. Always fun talking to you here on The Roman Show. And very, have a great fight, June 21st, defending your title for the first time, your featherweight title, World Series of Fighting number 10 against Frank Glenn. As Georgie defends the title for the first time, June 21st, NBC Sports Live in Las Vegas. Georgie, anything else you'd like to add?
No, thanks for having me, guys. And again, don't forget to check out, you know, June 21st live on NBC Sports, WSOF 10. And, you know, thanks to my main sponsor, Reebok, Everlast, and there's other ones, New Breed Nutrition, and whoever I forgot, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. That's another thing. You signed up with Reebok. That in itself is a great, great big deal for the sport.
Yeah, you know, I think Reebok recognized me as, you know, as a you know, good athletes, and I'm so happy to be with such a good brand, and they're taking care of me really good, and I can't complain. I'm just very happy, and you know, that's another fire up my ass that's making me want to win more and more.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. So far, so good for you, Georgie. And good luck defending your title for the first time. NBC Sports Live, June 21st, World Series of Fighting, number 10, Georgie versus Rick Glenn. Do not miss it. Thank you, Georgie. Have a good day, man.
This is the Secretary of Offense, Frankie Kazarian, and I'm the Ring General, Christopher Daniels. Together, we're known as Bad Influence. And when we're not inspiring children across the world, we like to watch The Roman Show, and now you are too.
When in Rome, watch The Roman Show.
Hey, this is Jacob Sisteran here. And
hey, this is Nellie from The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of entertainment. Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me, do you?
Alrighty, returning here to the Roman Show. Joe, do you know anyone in Delaware?
Where is Delaware? No, I don't know nobody in Delaware.
Okay, well, anyone that lives in Delaware, you're listening to this right now, or maybe even later. Here's a warning. If you're driving on the highway, make sure you keep your windows closed. Now you ask why. Is it raining? Is it snowing? Obviously it's not snowing. Is it too hot? Well, it turns out that a vehicle or a tractor trailer carrying honeybees overturned. Now the ramp to Interstate 95 in Newark reopened Wednesday, more than 12 hours after the rig carrying an estimated 16 million to 20 million bees from Florida to Maine crashed. Police cited the driver, Adolfo Guerra of Miami, of course you have to be from Miami, right, for unsafe shifting of load or cargo. Police say Guerra and two passengers were taken to the nearest hospital with minor injuries from the crash and 50 to 100 stings each. There were reports of passers being stung as well. So, you know, sometimes you're told, you know, wear your raincoats or take your umbrellas. Now you're going to have to wear that suit that these folks wear when they go
suit.
In. The bee suit, yeah. You're going to wear bee suits now if you want to be around Delaware. Jeez. I tell you.
Wow.
Things just keep getting weirder here. And by the way, there's a sick story, very sick story, Joe. I read earlier today, and concerning a 30-year-old woman. What did this woman do? Well, it's pretty sickening. But this woman, allegedly, oh, it was proof, but we're gonna say allegedly because, you know, it's always safe to use the word allegedly. This woman killed all her three children. All her three children, she stabbed them. Now, what happened? Her mother went into the house and saw her naked with a knife and the three bodies of the babies drenched in blood. And the father was just nearby fixing the car saying, "You killed my three daughters." So very unfortunate case there. Very unfortunate case. And right now, the authorities have apprehended this woman and are investigating the case. But a very, very unfortunate case coming out of that. We don't know what the situation is. We don't know if the woman was going through problems. But whatever it may be, it was no reason to kill three children. It was just really upsetting. All right, moving on to other news. I want to talk some professional wrestling here. Daniel Bryan now. There is concern whether Bryan will make it back in time for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, reports The Observer, which is the event WWE was originally hoping for following Bryan's neck surgery. The following event would be Battleground on July 20th, and WWE officials are looking at SummerSlam in August as the worst scenario, although there are some reports that he might be facing Triple H at Madison Square Garden in July. So this is all really up in the air, and we don't know exactly what the heck happened to Bryan, but one thing is said, that he's been advised to tone down his signature moves. That means more than likely you're not going to see any more missile drop kicks and the topes and his diving headbutt, which really sets Daniel Bryan apart. But, you know, that's what some of these wrestlers do. I mean, it comes a time that your body can take so much. I was just watching Randy Orton yesterday, and on the WWE Network, and he was talking about how Arn Anderson advised him to be careful and to relax. He used to do missile drop kicks too, until he had a shoulder injury. You don't see Randy Orton doing that anymore. So sometimes,
once in a while,
your body gives you a time, man. You know, you don't last forever.
Yeah, the perfect example, the perfect person to talk about that is none other than Mick Foley.
Right. Yes,
he talked about that on his DVD also on the WWE Network.
Hmm. It's true.
Yep.
Oh, well. Either way, we still got more to go here on The Roman Show. Eddie Velez of the rock musical group King coming up next here on The Roman Show. Make sure you tune in and subscribe to our YouTube channel, rroman0201, and visit the website, theromanshow.com.
Attention baseball fans, the Miami Marlins are looking for a few good heroes. Jose Zeros. Join one of the most hardcore fan sections in baseball today with the all-new Jose Zeros season ticket package. You'll see all 81 home games from this exclusive section. Plus, you'll get 6 Jose Zeros t-shirts and a private meet and greet with Jose himself, all for just $4.99. That's about $6 per game. Get your Jose Zeros season ticket package today at marlins.com. Dive in.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and now it's time to talk some rock, some metal. Here on The Roman Show, right now, we're going to go ahead and welcome in none other than guitarist and lead vocal of King, Eddie Velez. Eddie, how's it going, my man? Pretty good, Eddie. You know, we saw you down here. You were down in Florida, part of the festival down here. We got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and now obviously you're on tour promoting your latest album, Burn the Serene. Had a chance to listen to it. Absolutely, totally cool. I think can you correct me? Correct me if I'm wrong, but is it more harder than the first album?
This album it's a funny thing because we've gotten really melodic with it, you know. So there's a lot more melodic type tonal qualities in the vocals and guitar solos, but the riffs and the stuff that we wrote around it, the music of it is really heavy. It's a lot heavier than the first album, that's for sure. So it definitely is.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I heard it. I think I snapped my neck there, headbanging a little bit, but Burn the Serene is already on sale. You can purchase it on iTunes and Amazon. Let's talk about the single, Electric Halo. Got to see the video that was just released not too long ago. Tell me about that video. How fun was it filming it?
It's our first, you know, official video. Like, we've had the video for Falling Down, which was just kind of a jam thing, weirdness that we did, and this is the first one that actually had a production on it and you know, real actors, and it was just kind of a strange deal to walk in on set for something like that, and we're just like doing our thing, like, oh, hey, that's rock and roll, and they're like, oh, we need to put you guys in makeup, and we're like, oh, this is strange. Okay, I guess. So it was fun. Yeah, we had a blast doing it. You know, definitely out of our element, but whatever, we had a blast doing it, you know.
Yeah, you guys were well-dressed. It wasn't your typical heavy metal shirts or your rock shirts or your jeans. You guys were well-dressed.
Yeah, we had to play the part. It was one of my ideas to, I thought it would be funny because it's supposed to take place in like a somewhat of an evangelistic way where this dude's just robbing everybody and, you know, just earning their trust and taking their money and stuff like that. And I thought it would be funny if we were like the church band, you know. So that's why they dressed us up the way they did, and we're supposed to be the church dudes.
The new album, Burn Us Serene, I was reading up on you saying that you started writing this album as soon as the last album was over with Trampled Son. How was the decision? How did it come about to do it so quickly, just a quick turnaround, to start writing in the next album?
Well, we always had the title track, Burn the Serum, already ready to go. Like, we started playing that song on our first tour that we did with The Sword, and that helped because we already had that song in the can, and as we were touring, I think we toured on that album cycle for about a year and a half, if not 2.5 years, something like that, and it was in our best interest to constantly write and constantly jot down ideas as we were on the road, so we were all writing and putting in ideas into our phones, recording it any way possible, writing down lyrics and melodies, and, as soon as we got word that we were going to be able to go into the studio and, or have to write another record and get it in record, we were just ready to kick ass, you know, so we walked in there with songs and just cut it down, you know.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say is one of the top inspirations for this second album compared to the first one?
Top inspiration as to, we're all inspired by Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin and anything in the vintage realm, but, you know. Sorry, I keep watching. I'm watching the Dance from Crowbar there.
it's
falling all over the place. So the inspiration, there's just a lot of life scenarios that happen, and I just take all the stuff that has piled on in my life, and I can write a song about it, So there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens personally in my life, and that's what, I took a note from that and wrote songs from what was happening.
Now, do you also get with the other guys, kind of get some of their ideas as well and put them into words?
Not really. We usually typically write the music, together. We kind of get in the studio and, just write and hopefully some good riffs stick. But for the most part, when it comes down to writing lyrical content, I'm usually alone in my room or somewhere and just writing down thoughts.
Now, you guys have had the opportunity of being surrounded by legends, like Megadeth, and you were on also on the Orion tour of Orion Music Festival by Metallica. Tell me about being the presence of some of the legends, of these type of bands.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal. As I said before plenty of times, it's great, it's just a trip to even know that guys like Dave Mustaine and James Hetfield and Dave Grohl and Rex Brown and, the list goes on. These dudes who are legends who are highly inspired me as a musician, even know who the hell my band is. They know who King is. And on top of that, they're like, we like this song and this is good stuff and you guys are cool and you guys are great and we like you guys a lot. And we're like, man, it's mind blowing. It doesn't get old, that's for sure, and it doesn't get old talking about it either. Even when I think about it, I'm just like getting the chills, going like, holy crap, I got to talk to James Hetfield, and we got to talk about our hometowns and being in Downey and Montebello and East Los Angeles area. And he was like, my dad owned a truck stop or a trucking company of some sort, in Montebello, and he was just trip out,
And speaking of L.A., we all know of the Hispanic population. You yourself, you read about that you're half Cuban, half Mexican, and then the other boys there are Mexican. So we're actually in Miami, so we know all about the Cuban life, the Cuban coffee, the Cuban breads. But how much of an influence do you put of that into the music when it comes to Hispanic? Nowadays, I've been hearing some of these bands, especially heavy metal bands, that they incorporate instruments, musical instruments that you typically use on a salsa song or a bachata song. But how much is the influence in your music?
I don't mean to disappoint anybody, but we really don't, we're not influenced by any know what, we're pretty bare bones. We don't really try to add too much stuff to our music. I mean, it's literally vocals, guitar, bass, drum, and that's it. You know, I mean, I think there's a song that I'm Burning the Serum that's called Big Ugly Me, where we had one of our buddies, put in a Mellotron, which is an old, like, string. It's an old keyboard that's kind of like pre-recorded strings, and, you know, he added this cool little thing in between Big Ugly Me. But that's the most we get, you know. Everything else is like, I mean, I'm surprised they even used a wah-wah pedal on this album. You know, I really pretty stripped down.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because Big Ugly Me is one of my favorites, actually, from the latest album, I got to tell you. Lastly, yeah, it's really, really cool. Really jammed to it. Lastly, knowing that you have that Hispanic background, you don't put too much of the influence of the Spanish into the music. But in South America, man, heavy metal is pretty huge. It's big, gigantic. Any plans of going out there? And how do you think that the atmosphere will be? I mean, you see sometimes Metallica when they go to Mexico or Peru, the fans are just crazy. Any plans?
We are just crossing our fingers. Hopefully we can get out there. We know how big the scene is, and I think we can go on fairly well out there in South America and overseas for that matter, anywhere. You know, we've toured the States quite a lot. We've toured the States a lot. So, you know, we want to get up and move on and keep on growing as a band and grow in the territory that we hit, you know, so. Hopefully, soon we're in South America, and it would be great. So tell one of your friends.
We'll do, man. Well, Mexico, I mean, it's not too far.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's about 2 hours away from where I live.
So maybe they can fit a spot out there. I know that, you were at the Fort Rock Festival, and we got a chance to speak to La Cuna Coya. They were out there in Mexico, so... Mexico will be...
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was just texting the guys earlier today because there's an earthquake out there, and I was like, hey, you guys all right? And they're like, oh, everything was shaking, and, you know, but everyone's all right in the Lacuna Cola camp, and they are the absolute sweetest people ever, so they're good people.
They sure are, man. Well, any plans to come back to Florida?
You know what? We're doing a few more tours. I know there's some stuff that I can't talk about at the moment, but, you know, hopefully we'll be there soon. You know, we're going to get back and forth. I mean, the album Burn the Serum just came out, you know, so we gotta start the album cycle and run it and tour it as much as possibly can and promote the album and keep selling and working our butts off. And I'm sure we'll be back in Florida sometime soon.
Awesome, Eddie. Well, thank you so very much. Pick up the album Burn the Serum right now. iTunes, Amazon, your Best Buys, wherever you want to get them. But you can purchase it right now, Burn the Serum. Again, my personal favorite, Big Ugly Me, but hey, it's up to you. Electric Halo's already out there, too. Anything else you want to add, Eddie?
Buy the album and come see us.
There you go. Thanks so much, man.
Esto es Tigre Uno y Sigamendo Roman Show.
Hi, this is TNA Knockout Gail Kim, and keep watching The Roman Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to another edition of The Roman Show with your host, Rodolfo Roman. Now, Mikey Ruckus, rain down hellfire and brimstone!
I consider the beat, I consider the bounce, he considers the people when he considers the crowd. Ain't nothing to it, cause we all go through it. It's the start of the Roman Show, let's go through it. Come on, we pop shots as you lick in your chops, so straight to the top, the moment that the solo will drop.
Yeah!
Got it on lock, and tied in the knot. We got the industry crossover, like it or not.
You rocked it!
You haven't been all, you haven't been heard. From Miami up to Detroit, 3 1/3. East Coast, West Coast, yeah, we go on the curve. With a red carpet, news break, shocking the world. Come on, rise, come and join the Roman Show. Coming back to attack the world.
All right, guys. Well, welcome to the Roman Show. Pretty much wrapping up tonight's episode. We want to thank everyone for tuning in. TheRomanShow.com is our official home on the web. You can find out anything about the program, articles, interviews, even fighter pay for mixed martial arts and so forth. Only stuff that you can get here on the Roman Show. Joe, anything you want to add, dude?
Well, that Saturday, Miami beats the Pacers. That's pretty much it. I really have nothing else to say.
It's been a smooth show.
So
very smooth, sir, and that is right. By the way, have you heard that new song by Stitches? Your brick in your face. Listen, if you want, you gotta check it out. It's something. But do you remember the Joker in the new Batman trilogy?
Joker, yes.
Yeah, you know, God bless his soul. What's his name right now? It escapes my head right now.
Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger. Okay. Remember when he had the whole happy face and on the side and all this crazy stuff he had on his face?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's how this rapper looks like. Literally, he tattooed his face. Stitches, brick in your face. Look it up. You're going to crack up. I mean, it is what it is. And he's there throwing out their machine guns and so forth. It's on our website. It's on our Facebook page. Check it out. Stitches, brick in your face. But heck, even the Miami Heat come out to this song. It's the latest thing happening here in Miami, Florida. It's the new Miami music. You know, they had bass back in the day with you know, DJ Ladd. Uncle Al and all those guys. Well, now we got Stitches. Look him up.
Stitches.
Guy has over 1 million hits already on YouTube and World Star Hip Hop. All right, guys, with that being said, we'll catch you next week here on The Roman Show. Good night, guys.
What's up? This is your boy, Kimo Slice. And if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolph Roman. If you keep your eyes upon that, man, you'll be all right. You'll know what's going on. So stay hip. To Adolfo Roman. This your boy Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.